This podcast is brought to you by our Let's Go Brandon t-shirt. Order it at gracecurlyshow.com. Enjoy the podcast.
She's the Boston Herald's wittiest wordsmith, the last woman standing at the Whiskey Priest. Once a very legitimate magazine that we definitely didn't make up, named her the Michael Jordan of radio. Wait, don't you think we're laying it on a little thick here, Grace?
Just stick to the script.
Oh, okay. Live from the Aviva Trattoria studio, it's the Grace Curley Show.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Grace Curley Show. It is Tuesday, and Christmas is right around the corner. We have tons to get to today. As always, Joe Biden slipping in the polls. Can't seem to turn this thing around. I like what Trump said. You know, there's a lot of cuts coming out of Trump.
What's that all about?
On this tour with Bill O'Reilly, and he said something like, he told you he was going to shut down the virus. How's that working out for you? That's what I want to say every time I know someone who voted for Biden. Today I was looking at all of these old celebrity cuts because I'm putting together a new Hollywood segment for every time someone like Bette Midler, Robert De Niro has a mental breakdown. We can, you know, kind of play it in with something. You guys couldn't tell yet. I like that. I like a little intro music. And I was looking at some of these people that just were so supportive of Biden Harris. And we're talking about how we need this. And this is going to change everything. How's that working out for you? I'm just curious. Are you happy with the way things are going? And there's all sorts of different things to talk about. Like I said, Bette Midler had maybe one of the wackiest tweets I've seen in a very long time. Like, the level of tone deafness to this tweet was mind-blowing. We also have Kamala Harris making waves again for all the wrong reasons. You know, no matter what they send her out to do, she can't ever answer in the way the administration would like her to. She always has to say, like, the exact opposite of what she's supposed to say. So we have that. Dr. Fauci's trying to get another another person fired for saying something mean about him on Fox News, or, you know, for just saying something mean about him that he didn't like. He's trying to get someone fired. Jesse Waters, we'll get to that. Jen Psaki yesterday, very testy, very, very snippy. Even for a Psaki standard, she was very snippy. It's almost like this administration is getting to her, and I can't blame her. I was actually discussing this with a friend of mine, and I said, you know, I'm not a particularly big fan of Jen Psaki, but I can admit when someone's good at spinning things, and she has a knack for it. She has a talent for being able to take these questions and turn them on their heads. Whether you like her or not, you have to admit it. But she must be looking at everyone else in this administration being like, can anyone do half of what I'm doing? Can you just pull your weight? Her back must hurt from carrying this administration day in and day out. And then she has to come back, she has to, you know, pull the curtain, and she sees Joe Biden sitting there saying, so how'd it go? How'd it go, kid? You did a good job out there. And you know he's going to go out and say something else you're going to have to explain. It's just a disaster, but I have good news. I'm not the bearer of bad news. I'm here to deliver the news that everyone needed to hear. And I know when you look at the current state of the country, it's easy to get a little bummed out. Joe Biden's poll numbers are at an all-time low. Inflation's at, you know, a 39-year high. COVID cases are spiking, surging, whatever the word they're using. You know, Joe Biden is sending out 500 million tests to Americans. I don't know how much that's going to help. I guess you have to request it. It's unlike ballots. You have to request the test. It's not just going to come right to your door, no matter what. And so There's all this news, though. There's all this news that can really start to weigh on you. And I'm here to tell you that I have a feeling things are turning around. And you know how I know that? There's a new dog in the White House. That's right. Move over, Major. Your yesterday's news. The White House has decided, and Jen Psaki warned us about this. She said we might get a cat, when it's a very bad news day. If you see a tail a wagging, there might be bad news. Well, it had to be a majorly bad news 10 months because they unveiled all of the new animals at once. They got rid of Major. They sent him to like the farm or something.
Sorry, Major, over to Uncle Barry's for dinner.
Well, that's the craziest part is that they're like, oh, he's staying with family friends. You couldn't even get someone in your family. Like Hunter's that busy. He couldn't take the dog for a while. That's the part of it, Jared, that blows my mind. Like if I'm Joe Biden, I'm saying to myself, hey, kid, you're living the life of Riley. You're taking this damn dog.
You give Major to baby Burisma as a Christmas present. Kids love dogs.
But instead, they have to give him to a family friend, which is code for, you know, the farm. He's going to the farm. God bless Major. Hopefully, he's got good blood. But yeah, Major's out because he was biting too many people, which, by the way, that was another thing this administration didn't want us to know, was that Major was biting everyone, and including like Secret Service. That came out months later. And so they got a new puppy.
There's your dear Gabette.
They got a new puppy. We don't know the... Oh, no, we do know the name. Commander.
Commander, yes.
Commander. He's sensing a theme here. They had Champ, they had Major, now they have Commander. It's all very clever. It's all very heartwarming and unifying.
Things they want to be but never are.
Yes. So they get this new puppy. And then I also saw, and I can't confirm this, I saw this via tweet, but I haven't seen many stories on it, that they also got a cat. That's rumor. Rumor has it they got a cat. And even for this administration, which is really built around just sheer propaganda, it's like a bunch of Baghdad Bobs bumping into each other in the White House. Even for them, and what we've come to expect, I have to say this, it's a little obvious. Jared, you're laughing, but even for them, this is a little too on the nose. You know what I mean? Like,
this whole thing was staged.
I feel like even for the mainstream media, they must feel kind of like, all right, we can't cover you that. We can't shift this quickly, you know? We can't not talk about all of these actual issues and cover the new puppy. And the part of this I find kind of amazing is they bring in this new puppy, what I'm assuming based off the commercial ad they put out on their Twitter where they said, meet the newest member of the Biden family, Commander. And Joe's like hobbling around. No word yet on if Joe plans on pulling this dog's tail when he's fresh out of the shower.
I think that's a given.
The White House doctor better get ready. Get the big boot ready.
Isn't Dr. Jill the White House doctor?
Oh, yeah. No, she's a Surgeon General, so she can definitely put the boot on. Be at the ready, Dr. B. Because Joe might take a tumble, depending on how much he likes this dog. So he's got the new dog. But Jared, this is the part I want to drill down on. They bring in the new dog as a way of, like, shifting the press coverage, you know? Oh, inflation's up. Everything's going to crap. Everything's going wrong. Bring in the puppy. It's as obvious as like a spoiled brat and you don't want to tell the kid that the parents are getting divorced. So you're like, oh, give him a puppy. That'll make him happy. Like, oh, yeah, that's what they think of the American people. That's the level of intelligence they think we have that will go, oh, you know, I'm not very happy with this president. Ooh, puppy. Never mind. I kind of like him now. But the part of it that's the craziest is that by bringing in this new puppy, they have to acknowledge that they're getting rid of the old dog. So it almost shines, don't you think? It almost shines more light on the fact that you're pawning off your old dog onto your family friends. And here's how I feel on that. Everyone knows this. I'm not a huge dog person. Howie Carr is like a massive dog person. He loves pugs. He's already got like names picked out for hypothetical pugs. Talks about Mr. Gooner all the time, who was actually a woman but identified as a man and was going to go to the Marine Academy. I don't know. He's got like backstories on his dogs, all sorts of things. I've never been a dog person. But what I've noticed is when you try to give your dog away, or when you do successfully give your dog away, people don't like that. Other dog people don't like when dog owners forfeit their dogs. Do you notice that? And here's my examples. Andrew Cuomo didn't even succeed in that. He was just rumors where he was trying to get rid of his dog, and everyone was up in arms that he was a monster for trying to get rid of his dog. Not for, you know, all the stuff that happened with the nursing homes. People were focused on the dog. But it was like a husky or something. He tried to give it away. How dare he? What an awful man. We thought he was bad, but it gets worse. And then Andrew Yang also gave away his dog, and he tweeted about it once, like how sad he was on National Dog Day having given away his dog. And people, again, hair on fire. How dare you give away your dog? Blah, blah, blah. So
my hair's on fire.
I'm just surprised that Biden would even get the new puppy knowing it's going to highlight the fact that he's getting rid of Major. That's all I'm saying.
All this guy does is the wrong thing. I mean, the wrong optics, the wrong decisions. It's just, this is peak Joe Biden. And by the way, who had Major before Biden in the impeachment poll? Right?
True. This is what they said. After consulting with dog trainers and animal behaviorists and veterinarians, the first family has decided it would be safest for Major to live in a quieter environment with family and friends. I'm sorry, but dog trainers, animal behaviorists, and veterinarians, who's paying for that? Well, you had to jump through all these hoops to figure out the dog couldn't cut it. I think like the fifth or sixth bite would have been your sign that you have to send him away. You don't have to hire all these people. You know who's paying for it. Take a look in your mirror. If you're driving, take a look in your rear view. It's you. You're paying for it. So they can come out with some fancy statement about how they tried to make it work with Major, but, you know, he just couldn't cut it. It's all so pathetic. And how much you want to bet? I tweeted this out today, and I didn't expect. You never know what's going to hit on Twitter, you know? You never know what's going to resonate with people. But I was talking about how these journalists keep asking, like, when are we going to get to talk to Biden? And Jen Psaki said, depends on what question you ask, which Taylor brought up a great point earlier. And he said, does that mean they train him or his handlers instruct him on what topics he can kind of come alive at? Like, oh, if you hear China, no. If you hear COVID, no. But if you hear Christmas presents and Dr. Jill, then you can respond. Just something to think about. But Jen Psaki said, oh, it depends on what question you ask. And she threw her mask on and walked away. And I thought today, I said, if the journalists happen to get Joe Biden, like in between naps, and they get to ask him a question, I bet it will either be about the new dog or it will be about Jesse Waters saying something nasty about Dr. Fauci. My prediction, we'll see how it goes. Eden Pure has done it again. The 3-pack for the Thunderstorm air purifier is back. One listener wrote, I already own 2 and I bought another for my brother because of his sinuses. Jared, you love this product for your allergies as well.
Yeah, it's helped me with sinus and allergy headaches in the past. It's great because what you do is you just plug it in, you turn it on, and it starts ionizing the air, which creates a super oxygen, and it gets rid of allergens. It gets rid of pollutants. It gets rid of any dog smells. Don't send your dog to a family friend. Plug in the Eden Pure Thunderstorm and it'll take care of the dog smell.
Or send your dog to the family friend and include a thunderstorm with.
Right. Tie it around the neck of the dog like those rescue dogs with the barrels, but put a thunderstorm unit on there.
Rumor has it that's why Hunter wouldn't take the dog. He was like, I can't deal with the smells. I'm too particular about the smells. This is your chance. You'll get 3 units for under $200 and save $200. Like Jared said, it's a great gift. You're going to love it. You can use one in your basement, one in your car, maybe give one away to a friend. Other air purifiers can cost up to $600 for just one unit. Go to EdenPureDeals.com, click my name, and put in code word GRACE3 to save $200 for their special 3-pack. That's EdenPureDeals.com, click my name, and use code word GRACE3. All orders will be shipped before Christmas. 844-500-4242. When we return, I want to talk a little bit about Bette Midler's insulting tweet about West Virginia. And we have a lot of other things to cover. We'll be taking your calls all day. So just call in 844-500-4242. It's Tuesday, and this is the Grace Curley Show.
Follow Grace on Twitter at @G_Curley. Grace Curley is pure Americana.
I'm so off the cuff. I'm so unpredictable. And I have a leather bomber jacket. I'll take your question anyway, kid. An American
girl. This is the Grace Curley Show.
Welcome back to the Grace Curley Show. We're already having some fun here, just talking about Biden's new friend.
Hey, guys. You ready to let the dogs out?
What? Do what?
Let the dogs out. You know, like, who let the dogs out? Who?
Yeah, I mean, it's a great day to be commander. You're being celebrated in the press. Mr. Biden, we love your dogs. Not such a great day to be major, though. Where am I going? Who are these people? And I shouldn't even make fun, because it's not the dog's fault. I mean, he's been through a rough time with this family, you know, being moved into the White House and all of the troubles that he has dealt with. But man, Joe Biden's ruthless when he wants to be. See you later, pup. And they put out this pathetic video where they want you to like gush over it. I'm sure the mainstream media will do what they're told and ask some important questions. How's Commander adjusting to his new home, Mr. President? But still, it's pretty pathetic. And you haven't heard as much about the White House cat, but there is supposedly a White House cat. And remember that way back when Psaki had told us, can we play this flashback cut four, please, Jared?
I've been joking, although maybe it might be true, that we're waiting for a bad news day for that to come out. If you see a tail wagging coming out of the briefing room, you'll know something bad's about to happen. I don't have any update on the cat. I know there's a lot of interest.
Now, I remember when she said that, because a couple months later, I wrote an article for the Boston Herald where I was like, if this current news cycle, it was during the Afghanistan withdrawal, and I thought, if this current news cycle doesn't warrant a White House cat, what are we in for? Like, what are they waiting for? Well, I guess now. I mean, polls are at a real low for Joe Biden, and they don't seem, a lot of people expected them to bounce back after the botched Afghanistan withdrawal, but that is not the case.
How do you think this cabinet meeting went? All right, guys, we got a problem. Afghanistan was terrible. Oil prices are up. I told everyone they're all going to die before Christmas. How do we dig out of this?
Well, yeah, and
the cat, yes, love it. Love it. Let's do that.
Yeah, it's a weird thing that, and I said this yesterday on a Howie show with Taylor, who's filling in, but I didn't say it on my own. And I thought it was a really insightful remark someone made on Twitter, where they were pointing out how that statement Joe Biden made, where he said, you have a winter of death. I think he actually said it out loud. I don't know if we have that cut, Jared. He said the winter looks like it's going to be a lot of death and doom for all, you know, unvaccinated people. I'm paraphrasing, but that was pretty much the gist of it. And people were wondering on social media, like, who is this for? Even blue check marks, like liberal blue check marks, were saying, who are you trying to convince with this kind of rhetoric, with this negative, condescending tone? And someone pointed out that it's not about convincing the unvaccinated to get the vaccine. I think they've given up on that. What his statement was about was showing his crazy base that he hates the unvaccinated as much as they do. So
it's here now, and it's spreading, and it's going to increase. For unvaccinated, we are looking at a winter of severe illness and death for unvaccinated, for themselves, their families, and the hospitals they'll soon overwhelm.
Yeah, so they put that statement out, and then he read it. So they had to think about it, write it down. Everyone had to react and say, whoa, this is a terrible idea. You shouldn't talk like this to half of the country. And his response is, I'm going to go out and read it. Once again, you know, just brilliant. But that is exactly what the point of that was. It's not to convince the guy down the street from you who's hesitant to get the vaccine to get the vaccine. What they want to do is they want to prove to the Karen on the airplane that we hate the unwashed boomer rubes as much as you do. And that's what Joe Biden's all about. He's never been a leader of the red states and the blue states. He's a leader of the woke progressive mob. And it's too late for him to turn around. I mean, Joe Manchin killing the Build Back Bagel plan was the last thing, the nail in the coffin. He's the leader of the squad. And that's what that statement was all about. It was appeasing the woke mob. When we return, Bette Midler, Macaroni Midler in the news. Don't go anywhere.
Hey,
live from the Aviva Trattoria studio.
Welcome back, everyone, to the Grace Curley Show. All right, we got a lot to discuss here. But first, let's do the poll question. Today's poll question is brought to you by Heart Transportation in Maine. Heart Transportation is hiring drivers with full benefits and no vaccine mandates. Apply today at heartdrivers.com. That's H-A-R-T-T, drivers.com. Jared, what is the poll question and what are the results thus far?
What should the Bidens name their new cat? Malarkey, Dr. Two Scoops, Chairman Meow, Corn Pop, Brandon, Fur Isma, or Amtrak?
I'm biased because it was my own creation, but I'm going to go with Furisma.
Furisma is at 9%.
Ah!
In the lead is Brandon at 33%.
Yeah.
Second place for Chairman Meow at 22%. 12% for Malarkey. 12% for Corn Pop. 7% for Amtrak. And 5% for Dr. Two Scoops.
You know, Brandon's a great one because when someone like myself has on a Let's Go Brandon shirt, which you can get at gracecurlyshow.com, click on store. We just got a bunch of new sizes, so you can feel free to
go
there.
Let's go, Brandon!
And I'm wearing it. I'm sure that would bother Joe Biden. He's incredibly thin-skinned. He has a glass, one of the most famous glass jaws in the biz. But if he had a cat named Brandon and he walked into the Army-Navy game or some, you know, big sporting event and everyone started cheering, "Let's go, Brandon!" He could kind of grab the cat, hold it up in a Simba-like fashion, and suddenly you're changing the narrative. You know, you're putting a positive twist on this.
I hope it's an orange tabby.
Yeah. So, yeah, I understand why people are voting Brandon. Plus, we all have, like, ornaments and T-shirts and things like that. So, you know, we'd like to be able to cheer on the cat. It would be a nice... You're killing two birds with one stone.
Exactly. A nice constant little reminder about how everybody hates this man.
But the new pets, you know, the Biden family new pets are really a distraction. And they're a distraction from a lot of things. One of them is being Omicron, which... You know, Joe Biden promised to shut down the virus before he came into office, and now they're backtracking on that. Now they're not going to shut down the virus. They're just going to, you know, send out some tests and try to get a hold of it and, you know, give it 2 weeks to slow the spread. And they have all sorts of new plans. All these new plans, by the way, they can wait like 5 or 6 days to announce because there's a real sense of urgency with this White House. You know, they're worried. They're whispering. And they're going to wait 7 days till they tell you about it. That's something I've always noticed with them. But that's not the only thing they're trying to distract from. They're trying to distract from inflation. They're trying to distract from crime. Crime is spiking all over the country. And there's this real desire by the left to deny that and to gaslight people who are concerned about it. And you are seeing some real notable changes with people like San Francisco Mayor London Breed, who were saying, you know, we have to take our city back. That's something that I never thought I'd be around for. And so when you're losing people and when you're losing people like Bret Stephens from The New York Times and other liberal writers who helped get Joe Biden into office, who are now saying, this is not looking good. You have to do something drastic. So you bring in the cat because you're having a catastrophe. And another thing that you're hoping that the media will stop talking about is the big domestic agenda loss for Joe Biden, which is the failure of his Build Back Better agenda. That is something that is really bothering the Democrats, because this was going to be their big win. It was going to be transformational. They were going to transform the country with all of this free stuff and no more getting internet in parking lots. And, you know, we're going to work on bridges, which is, you know, more for the infrastructure bill. But I'm sure there was, you know, some human bridges in the social spending welfare bill.
Those bridges get 2 weeks of paternity leave.
Yes, this bill came with all sorts of stuff, a lot of stuff for the Green New Deal. I think it included a climate corps. I don't even know. There was so much pork in this thing. I never even really spent the time to go through each layer of the bacon. But that is done because Joe Manchin said he's not going to do it. And so they want to distract from Build Back Better. And It's not working, though, because the squad is not going to let that happen. The squad is furious, and the squad doesn't play nice. You know, there was always this expression with Democrats. I remember even as a little kid, my mom saying to me, say what you want about Democrats, they stick together. Does anyone else out there call in if you agree with this? Because I remember this as a kid. If there was anything about Democrats, they stick together. That has gone by the wayside, thanks to, and I want to really express my sincere gratitude, thanks to Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, the congresswoman from the Bronx, thanks to Ilhan Omar. That is no longer the case. They don't stick together. In fact, they'll turn on each other on a dime. And it's pretty amazing to watch. You might want to go get some popcorn. I know it's early, but it's really captivating.
Corn Pop was a bad dude.
So even if, let's say, a more seasoned Democrat knows to bite their tongue, like let's say Nancy Pelosi, she's a good example. She'll say, we're going to get it passed after the new year. And you're like, all right, yeah, she's got to say that. She knows how the game is played. She's a master legislator. But AOC and Ilhan Omar, they're still young. They don't get it. So they're going to go out there and rip each other's heads off and say whatever they want and not realize that they're poking the bear. They're killing any shot at like a John McCain type of moment where he might switch sides. That's not going to happen now. So yesterday when I was watching AOC on with Morning Joe, and forgive me, I know this is an old cut. This is from yesterday, but we're playing it for a reason. We're playing it to usher in the new cuts. AOC said something, and I thought this is the stupidest take I've seen on this whole Manchin dilemma. They're all mad at Joe Manchin, you know, West Virginia senator. He ruined all their plans. And listen to what AOC said, and then we'll play the rest.
So the idea that Joe Manchin says he can't explain this back home to his people is a farce. I mean, it's a farce in terms of, you know, plain democracy, because I represent more or just as many or more people than Joe Manchin does, perhaps more.
Perhaps no.
That is false.
That is very false. The congresswoman represents about 700,000 residents, while Joe Manchin represents the entire state of West Virginia, which has 1.8 million residents. So again, fuzzy math. And I heard the fuzzy math. I've seen so much fuzzy math, it didn't even faze me. It just, you know, it was a nice thing to throw into the show. Then Ilhan Omar comes out today. And like I said, they're not going to relax on this. They're not going to say, let's not go too aggressive in case there's a chance. So you're telling me there's a chance, dumb and dumber? No, there's no chance. Listen to Ilhan Omar today.
We all knew that Senator Manchin couldn't be trusted. You know, the excuses that he just made, I think, are complete. It is really disheartening to hear him say that he has been trying to get there for the people of West Virginia.
Now, I will agree with her about Senator Manchin can't be trusted, because that's just that. That's part of who he is. You know, that's kind of his shtick. But it is pretty rich that someone with the, let's just say, the romantic history of Ilhan Omar, you know, look into that first marriage. I don't know if she should be calling anyone out for not being able to be trusted. She's not exactly the most honest person.
You can't
person.
Trust your family. Who can you trust?
That is true. That is true. So I have both these cuts from the squad, and I'm like, ooh, this is going to be a tight race of who can, you know, really have the stupidest remark on Build Back Better and Joe Manchin. And then I ruled someone out, Jared. I ruled her out too early. Bette Midler comes in.
It's Macaroni Midler.
And Bette Midler inspired me, because I've been wanting to do this for a while. Celebrities, when they chime in on politics, they say the stupidest things. They really show their true colors, their snobbiness, their condescension, their elitism. They get it all out there on Twitter, and it's hysterical. This woman got ratioed. She got ratioed, and it inspired me for a new segment. I think we'll be able to use it all the time. It's when we want to inform you about something that's happening in Tinseltown. This is our Hollywood segment.
This isn't Hollywood, where someone takes care of things with a phone call. This is the real world.
Do you know who I am? Lifestyle. like to thank the Hollywood Foreign Press. It's a very bold move making tonight plant-based.
COVID is God's gift to the left.
I just want to thank my agent and God, Harvey Weinstein.
All right, now, here's the tweet. Get ready for this, Jared. It's pretty bad. This is Bette Midler. What Joe Manchin, who represents a population smaller than Brooklyn, has done to the rest of America, who wants to move forward, not backward, like his state, is horrible. Right there, the tweet's bad. She's saying that West Virginia is a backward state, and, you know, that Joe Manchin represents this little place that doesn't matter. So you're thinking, oh, that's bad. Yeah, that's a- no, I'm not even at nearly the worst part. He sold us out, she says. He wants us all to be just like his state, West Virginia. Poor, illiterate, and strung out.
At no point in your rambling, incoherent response were you even close to anything that could be considered a rational thought. Everyone in this room is now dumber for having listened to it.
The responses underneath this tweet were amazing. People being like, I would so much rather this country be like West Virginia than be like New York.
Teardrop in my eye, country road, take me home to the place I belong. West Virginia, Mountain Mama.
Yeah, I'm way more likely to move to West Virginia than California or New York. And I think Joe Manchin, sometimes in life, the people who hate you when you do something, it shows you you're on the right path. You know what I mean? It's like if AOC is staring at you with dagger eyes when you're in the Senate, or when you're, no, I'm sorry, at the State of the Union, if she's staring at you with dagger eyes, you might be doing something right. If Bette Midler is calling you illiterate and poor, you might be onto something. If Joe Biden is telling you you have a winter of death and doom to look forward to, you're probably on the right side of history. I don't want any of these people to like me. I'm happy that Seth Rogen and Bette Midler think the rest of us are so incompetent and poor and miserable, and they want to stay in their lovely cities like San Francisco and LA and New York City. Stay there. All that we're seeing is the result of policies that people like Bette Midler support. She's so disconnected from the average American. It's amazing. And the fact that these are the same people who hated Donald Trump so much. Because why? I don't know. Because he had mean tweets? Because he wanted borders? It's really something else. I got to read it one more time. He wants us all to be just like his state, West Virginia. Poor, illiterate, and strung out. Correct me if I'm wrong, Jared. That might be the most condescending tweet I've ever read.
Absolutely. And note to Bette Midler, the people of West Virginia can read, and they can read that tweet. So there's a windbag beneath my wings joke that I haven't formulated yet, but I want to be the first one to put that out there.
Well, you know what the thing that drives me crazy is? There's sometimes where people are like, oh, if you don't like a celebrity's politics, then you shouldn't support them. Like, for example, I really like Taylor Swift's music. I don't agree with Taylor Swift's politics. But at the same time, Taylor Swift's not dumb enough to write something like that, that is just so outwardly offensive. Like, not even trying to hide your disgust for people who disagree with you. I don't know. I'll never support anything Bette Midler does again. And that pains me to say, because Macaroni Midler, that episode of Seinfeld, is one of my all-time favorites.
It's Macaroni Midler.
I just watched it a couple weeks ago. She's the voice of Rochelle, Rochelle.
When the naysayers neighed, you picked up your pace. You said nothing's gonna stop me, so get out of my face. I'm having adventures all over the place. Rochelle, Rochelle.
All over the place except West Virginia.
But Jared, like, do we take that off now? I gotta stand by my words.
I'll tell you what, in deference to this, I will take that off if Rochelle Walensky goes away and we don't have to play it ever again.
Fair enough. I think that's a fair trade. 844-500-4242. Do you think this is how all people feel who wanted the Build Back Better plan to go through? Do they feel like we are poor, illiterate, and strung out because we disagree with this bill that is going to increase inflation astronomically and really cripple the American economy? Call in 844-500-4242. This is The Grace Curley Show.
You're listening to The Grace Curley Show. Grace Curley, she's working for you.
I'm like Bette Midler and for the boys. Gotta keep the troops entertained.
Speaking of Joe Manchin, he actually said yesterday that it wasn't Joe Biden who really turned him off the BBB. It was his staff, which blew me away because I've always been impressed by his staff.
Joe Manchin talks to the boss. He doesn't deal with underlings. Joe Manchin goes straight to the top. He goes to the people in charge. That's why he's dealing with Biden's staff.
Yeah, he goes to the real president, Ron Klain, the commander-in-chief, the commander-in-tweets, Ron Klain. You know who they might have needed to really push this Build Back Better plan through? They wanted to really convince Joe Manchin. TJ Ducklow. TJ could have gotten this done. He would have called up and said, Manchin, if you don't get on board with this, I'm going to ruin your bleeping life. I'm TJ Ducklow, damn it. Unfortunately, they didn't have him, and that's a loss for us all. All right, I wanted to read just a quick thing here. Actually, let's play first. This is Jen Psaki. She's talking about how some of Biden's best and brightest might have ruined this deal with Joe Manchin. Cut two.
That harsh rhetoric coming from the White House, the harsh rhetoric that I've seen coming from fellow Democrats, progressives in particular, may push Senator Manchin out of the Democratic Party.
Senator Manchin has spoken to that, and the president continues to believe that they share a range of values. They share a commitment to helping working people, to helping lower costs for the American people. Our intention yesterday was to provide specific details to the American people about the events of the last few weeks. And our statement followed a statement by Senator Manchin.
Fair enough. And this is a really good piece from the Daily Wire today. And it says, I believe it's from the Daily Wire. Yeah. It says, we should note that it wasn't Joe stumbling up the stairs of Air Force One that troubled Democrats into questioning Joe's fitness. They didn't question his stability when he at times spoke gibberish. They didn't seem worried when his physical exam failed to report on his cognitive ability. No, his collapse in the polls is why Joe is suddenly being challenged on the question of running again. I hope those family friends who are taking care of Major have room in their house for one more if the Democrats decide they're done with Joe Biden. 844-500-4242. When we return, we've got Kamala Harris in the news and so much more. Don't go anywhere. This is The Grace Curley Show.